What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Together, we can make your blonde, blonde. Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day.
Hair talks. Make your statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection, only from John Frieda.
Big Mo Quezon here. The new Smokehouse Pizza from Little Caesars is certified smokeified. 8-hour smoked brisket, certified beefified. 10-hour smoked pulled pork, certified hogified. Applewood smoked bacon, certified baconfied. And the Smokehouse Seasoned Crust and Tangy Barbecue Sauce? Certified Smokified. And what's better than three smoked meats on one pizza? This certifiable price. The new Smokehouse Pizza from Little Caesars is only $9.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations plus tax.
What's up, guys? Red Nation Hoops Podcast. My name is Saul Marnelli at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. You're joined by Paul at Rocket Intellect on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Also joined by Forrest Walker at Do Knots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Feeling fine.
So it's been 11 days since we last recorded, and a lot's happened. The Rockets are 5-2 since we last recorded, and they're currently on a 4-game winning streak. Before we get to all that, let's get to some news. What happened the day after we recorded was the news came out of Clint Capella's injury. So he, I think he broke his fibula, if I'm not mistaken. And at that time, he was diagnosed to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So at this time, we're roughly 2 weeks in. So he should be back in about a month. I think that's huge. This is something I talked about on Twitter. I think Clint Capella's like the second most important player on the team, if not second, probably third, behind Eric Gordon. I just think he's so critical to what the Rockets do on offense, and the Rockets don't have anybody that can do what he can do on defense. Like, the Rockets struggle rebounding without Clint Capella. The Rockets struggle rim protection without Clint Capella. They struggle in a lot of different areas. Everybody has to kind of play as a team when he's out, and I just think there's nobody on the roster that can replace him. What do you guys think?
Yeah, there's a reason they lost two games.
Yeah, I think Capella is pretty important. But I also think at the same time, Trez has done a little bit better than expected. He can't rebound at all, which has been sorely missed for Capella. But other than that, I think he's filled in the role threat pretty well. Even though Capella is probably a better one because he can catch lobs in the half court, something Harrell can't really do at this point. But the schedule is pretty soft until Capella gets back, so it's definitely manageable at this point, I think, especially with the Rockets like not dropping any bad games recently. I think they can handle it, even though he is clearly missed.
Yeah, I'm just going over the schedule now, and let's see, let's go over the next few, and we have Wizards, Thunder, Magic, Raptors, that'll be tough, Hornets, Wolves, Grizzlies, Nets, Heat, Bucks, Warriors, Grizzlies, Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Pacers, Kings, Hawks, Bulls. That's January. So, yeah, that's a pretty winnable schedule for the most part, assuming that he's on schedule, anywhere close to it.
Yeah, my biggest thing is these past few games, I've said they're 4-2 since we last recorded, but I mean, and that was since Clint Capella's injury too. But I mean, they're winning these games in ways that they didn't win games before. And what I mean by that is, like, James Harden and all the guards basically have to chip in a lot on rebounding. And these guys have to shoot a lot with a less of a role threat as they did with Capella. And I think these guys are getting more attention. They're getting harder closeouts because nobody has to worry about Clint Capella rolling down the lane. Harrell's been good, and you're right. I think you made a good point there. Harrell has done a better job than expected at filling in that role. I still think he's no Clint Capella. And rebounding-wise, like, the last night against the Knicks, like, James Harden doesn't have that ridiculous game if Montrezl Harrell is in the game with him, like, most of the time, right? Like, and that's a dirty little secret about that game is, you know, James Harden gets full credit for what he did last night, but I mean, Montrezl Harrell gets a little bit of credit too because he can't rebound for crap, right? And and that's why he had to go and grab 16 or 17 rebounds or whatever he had last night. And that's why, like, guards like Beverly, Gordon, like, everybody has to come in and you know, crash the glass. And I don't think they had to do that before. I mean, Clint Capella was just so much more reliable than that. And that's why the Rockets are in the market for another big man. Mark Stein reported it a couple of days ago at the time of this recording. So the Rockets are chasing, apparently, Kostas Koufos from the Sacramento Kings. And according to Zach Lowe, they're dangling that Corey Brewer contract, which made me really excited. But, I mean, it looks like they're gonna have to throw in a little bit more than that because that's not going to gain any traction in trades. They're probably going to have to throw in perhaps a second-round pick. Maybe KJ McDaniels. They're gonna have to sweeten the pie a little bit if they want to move that Corey Brewer contract. But that's apparently what they're doing. They're clearly in the market for a long term option at that center position until Clint Capella comes back. And to be honest, I think they need a better backup center. Even with Clint Capella out, I think the fact that the Rockets struggled this hard on the board since he's been out, I think that's really key. Like, I think that's important. I think that's something, you know, you should try targeting a guy that can start in a pinch if something like this ever happens. And while Nene, it looked like he could have been that guy, I don't think he is anymore. Like, he can't start games as well as he used to anymore. And Nene's been good. I don't want to turn this into another Nene bashing session, but he's just not the same guy anymore. He can't start in a pinch anymore. And a guy like Kostas Koufos can do that. And he's on a long-term deal. He's going to get paid this year, next year, and the year after that is a player option, so he can opt out of that contract. But that's a good deal. It's $8 million a year. That's pretty much average for a backup center. And in this market, I think that's a really nice contract to go out and try and chase. What'd you guys think of that?
Okay, I wanna bust out some conceptual math for us right now. So what is Corey Brewer currently adding to the team?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He's adding nothing.
He's currently adding salary to the team. So while I love Corey Brewer. I love watching him play, but I hate watching what his play does. So
you hate watching him play.
So moving that contract would be a net gain for the Rockets, both because that would not hurt their on-court presence at all, and it would help their books somewhat too. Kostas Koufos is great. I think he's a great fit for the team. He fits their needs exactly. He's doubtful to want to be like full-time starter or something. He's good. He's bench quality, right? He's like high-quality bench quality. Sometimes you get guys that are too good and want them to be on the bench. It's a problem, but I think he'd fit right in. So that'd be a net gain for the team as well. So of course, you know, paying like some like a draft pick or two, like a second round pick or something, would be, I think, a great deal for a series of improvements to the team. I think it would be fantastic, and the Kings are right to want more for him in that trade.
Yeah, but it's the Kings. They really don't have any leverage. The Rockets should go ahead and try bullying him. They should try trading Corey Brewer to the Kings.
Wow.
I mean, like when you're an incompetent organization, I mean, sorry, this stuff happens. When you have Vlade Divac running your front office, you're going to get bullied in trades constantly, and that's happened for the Kings ever since Vlade Divac.
If you bully them too hard, they're not going to trade with you again later. And if there's one thing the Rockets do, it's swindle the Kings over and over.
I mean, but that's what smart organizations do, right? I mean, that's what they... I mean, do you remember... I can't remember if it was last summer or the summer before that, the Kings inexplicably tried to clear cap space, and I think they gave up a couple second-round picks in the process or something like that. Like, they do these stupid things, right? Like, they do this stuff to themselves, right? And, like, I mean, if you're a team like the Rockets, and if you're a team like, I don't know, the Sixers, like, this is what you got to take advantage of. I don't feel any sympathy towards the Kings. I'm sorry. Like, I feel sympathy towards Boogie Cousins a little bit.
I feel sympathy towards Corey Brewer. Imagine if you're Corey Brewer, what do you do?
I mean, like, imagine he woke up like that morning and he saw that his contract isn't gaining any traction. Like, how do you feel as an NBA player? Like, your contract that's being openly traded and no one's seemingly wanting to, you know, try and attain it. I mean, that's gotta feel so bad for you. But I mean, I really don't care, honestly. I'm that cold-hearted. I don't care much for his contract or his play. But as far as trading with the Kings, I think this is kind of exactly what you wanted, right? Out of a big man, you wanted somebody. You described him right, a high quality bench player. Like, that's why I didn't really like the Nerlens Noel rumors, right? It was just talk amongst Rockets fans, right? I didn't like the speculation that was going on about Nerlens Noel, because he's somebody who definitely wants to start. I mean, you've seen it from his public comments. He's somebody who he complained about getting 8 minutes a game, and if he's complaining about that, I mean, he's gonna get what, like, maybe 5 more minutes per game when Clint Capela comes back. I mean, that's exactly what's gonna happen, and because Clint Capela, as of right now, he's the more proven talent. So I mean, this is kind of what you have to go after. You have to, like, I threw out a Salah Mejri trade proposal amongst Rockets fans, and I think that's kind of exactly who you want, right? Like, somebody who can just go for just, like, 5 or 10 games if you need him to be, if Capela ever goes down. Grab some boards, somebody who's athletic enough to do things in the pick and roll, and somebody who, you know, just fits well in the system, and I think it's fine, right? Like, you don't really need to go after any big names, and I think the Rockets are doing the right thing here. Even if Clint Capela wasn't injured, I think, like, there's uncertainty with Nene. I mean, he's a free agent next summer. He's on a minimum deal. He's on a 1-year minimum deal, so there's a chance he leaves next summer, and if he leaves, you're stuck in the wind without a backup center, and that's not a place you want to be in. So, I mean, going after Kostas Koufos, whether Capela's healthy or not, I think it's the right move, because you need to lock up something in that center position for the next couple of years. And that's what, you know, Morey does, right? Like, he finds these guys on reasonable deals, and he plugs them in, and they usually work. And I think this is kind of, I think it's a win-win. Not necessarily for the Kings, but I think it's a win-win for the Rockets. I think they're probably going to end up giving probably like a second round pick or Harrell or something like that in the deal, because I think the Kings, you know, we joke a lot about their competence. I don't think they're that stupid. Like, I think anybody with eyes knows that Corey Brewer isn't good at basketball and he isn't worth that contract. So I'm pretty sure they're probably going to have to give a little bit more than that.
I'm concerned about you suggesting trading Harrell for Kostas Koufos.
I'm not that big on Harrell. I mean, like, I think he's fine. Like, I think he's like a nice energy big off the bench. Like, the rebounding and the defense, like, he's just not. I know he's young. Like, he's 22, right? Like, and he has time to learn these things. But rebounding generally doesn't improve as your career goes along. And, like, this guy can't grab rebounds, and that's really important in any big man position. And he's gonna have to play center because he can't stretch the floor yet. And he's at the power forward position. I mean, he's just not going to,
right,
it's
but
not
he's
gonna work.
Also good at everything else. So, I mean,
yeah, that's a pretty good thing to be good at everything else. I'd be loath to give up a Harrell unless you absolutely have to, because he's turning out to be a really nice asset. And I think even from a very cynical point of view, his stock is going to rise for a while. So if you are going to flip him, you can get better return.
Yeah, you're,
I mean,
you won't have to give up Harrell for Koufos.
I mean,
like, that's, he's got like the highest net rating on the team. The Rockets are playing very good defense with him on the floor. I have a problem with his rebounding and it irks me, but he's also like an awesome pick and roll guy. Like, he's averaging like 20 points per 36 or something like that with like two blocks.
I think someone like PJ, I think KJ McDaniels is at like a suitable place. Unfortunately for him, he hasn't been getting a lot of burn, but he's still a promising young player. The kind of guy that honestly Sacramento should be picking up. They need players like that who are athletic and young and play good defense and can be molded into something better.
And this is something I want to ask you guys: is KJ good? Like, because like this is the second coaching staff we've had with KJ McDaniels that he hasn't played on. Like, what's going on? Like, is he just not as good as we thought he was? This is coming from somebody who was really high on KJ, but I mean, every coaching staff he seems to go through, he doesn't get minutes, and I don't know what it is. I mean, Corey Brewer's getting minutes over him, and I mean, if that's the case, I mean, you're in a really concerning position. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Is there something I'm not seeing? Like, I get he doesn't have the fundamentals of perimeter defense down, right? Like, he's not really great off the ball. He has a lot of things to learn. He's not a good 3-point shooter, but he's really athletic, and he makes things work. And I don't get, like, is he just not good? Am I missing something with KJ?
I think it's a matter of fit, to be honest. Like, I think he's at a place where other dudes are ahead of him in rotation. He doesn't shoot well enough to really work with what D'Antoni and Harden and the Rockets are trying to do.
But, I mean, Corey Brewer's playing ahead of him. Like, Corey Brewer is one of the worst 3-point shooters in NBA history. I mean, that's not
But Corey Brewer's Coach Catnip. That's just the thing with Corey Brewer. Guys like that who are all hustle and energy and stuff. Like, and Corey Brewer will shoot. Like, he shoots a lot of threes, which a lot of times guys just like. Like, I think that KJ still has a chance to be really good. I don't know if he's good right now, but I think he could be, and I think that's what matters.
Sure. I mean, like, that's just something. I'm stumped as to why he's not playing. Well, I suggested earlier, like, as soon as Corey Brewer gets traded, I think he'd slide into the rotation. I'm not sure if that's the case anymore, because I don't know, man. Every coaching staff he goes on, like, I just don't know why he doesn't play. He played well in the beginning of the season. He played well in preseason, and then he just inexplicably fell out of the lineup. Is it an attitude problem, or is he just not good? Like, I don't know. Again, let's talk about the positive now. The Rockets are 5-2 since we last recorded, and they're winning these games through the skin of their teeth a lot of times, but I mean, they're blowing the bad teams out, and I think that's important. I think it's important if you can go into Phoenix and blow them out, and like, that's a sign of a really, really good basketball team. Their advanced statistics are they're on the uprise. As we said, like, they're third in offensive rating, they're 17th in defense, which is solid, and I they're like fifth in net rating, and I think that's climbing at the moment. So I mean, that's a bona fide title contender, and they're third in the West right now, and they're a game and a half behind the Spurs. They have a solid 4.5 game lead against everybody that's tied for fourth in the West. So I mean, like are you guys surprised at all at how well they're playing right now?
I mean, I didn't expect they'd be this good before the season, but after the first month of the season, this is not super surprising. They're just good. They're just really good. It's too bad there's like a Galactus out there that everyone's got to deal with at the end of the season. But yeah, in a normal year, this is definitely a contending team. As much as it's going to... Paul, I think you caught some flack for saying this, but it's true. It's absolutely true. They should be a contender. There's just a stupid superhero team out there.
Yeah, like, and I think that's correct. Like, right? Like, if it weren't for Golden State, this would be the team to, I guess, everybody stacks up against, right? Like, and I guess you can throw in the Spurs if you're really confident about the Spurs. I'm not that high on them this year, but yeah, I think if in any other year, this would be the team in the West to be favored to come out, and you have this juggernaut in the Warriors. That's, you know, really historically abnormal, right? Like, they have a point differential of 432. And the second team, I think it's like the Raptors. No, it's the Rockets. The second best team in point differential is the Rockets, in terms of just pure differential. So I mean, and that's at 273. So there's a 200-point there's a 200-point gap between the Rockets and the Warriors, and it's insane. This is a really an abnormal year, obviously, and we've mentioned that before. But yeah, I think. I mean, like, and this is something I was talking to Chris Axman on the Almighty Bond podcast about, and he asked me, like why aren't you that high on them getting to the conference finals? And I'm originally it's just like, I'm not sure if they can beat the Clippers. And I want to ask you guys, like, do you guys think they match up well with the Clippers, and do you think they can get to the conference finals this year?
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Yeah, they match up well enough. I think that I would put the Rockets like on even footing pretty much with the Spurs or the Clippers. I mean, if the Clippers are horribly injured, then yeah, you got to favor Houston. But I don't know. It's too early to say like where it's going to shake out at time, but they're definitely in that tier. Same with like the Raptors. The Cavs, I think, are kind of sandbagging it a little bit, and that's sort of the most confounding thing right now for seeing how good teams are, because I think the Cavs are better than they're playing, but how much better is like impossible to tell until they turn it on in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, like, that Christmas Day game against the Warriors told us everything, right? They're holding back like crazy, right? They're much better defensively than what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. That's because they don't have to be that great defensively. They don't have to give that effort. They play in the Eastern Conference. And, I mean, no offense to the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference is bad. And every year we do this thing where we...
Some offense.
No, it's bad. I mean, every year we do this thing where we pretend like the Eastern Conference is good. I mean, outside of the Cavs and the Raptors and maybe Charlotte, like... it's bad. Like that's the only bona fide contender in that conference, and they don't have to try on a day to day basis. Like, I mean, like the thing about the Pistons, right? The Pistons was a team that a lot of people were high on going into the season, and they are 11th in the conference, right? Like, there's all this kind of crap going on with the East, right? And like the Wizards are on a hot streak, and guess what their record is? They're 500. They're 16-16. Right, and they're sixth in the conference. Like, that conference is just bad. Like, and so the Cavs don't have to try as hard to be that good defensively. So it's really hard to, I guess, evaluate them at their peak levels. And so I guess the only real team that's playing at their full, to their full potential is, I guess, the Warriors. And I think they have another gear too that we haven't seen yet, because they still haven't fully integrated Steph into their new offense, right? With Durant. So I mean. Yeah, like a lot of this is hard to judge, right? And I think the Rockets are in a unique situation in that I think they are playing at their full potential. And this is where I got into a really big argument with Chris about. Like, I don't think the Rockets can play much better than this. And that's not a diss to the Rockets. The Rockets are playing really well, but I'm saying like in the playoffs, I don't think they can turn it up another notch. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't know if most teams really do that. Like, I think that's less common than people act like it is. I mean, like, the Spurs don't really do that, and they've won 5 championships. So, I think it's really just, like, LeBron teams that kind of have this situation going on. I think the Rockets could improve on defense a bit, especially when Capella gets back. Like, tighten up their rotations a little and stuff, and we'll see. Like, playoff defense is different from regular season defense to some degree. Not a ton degree, but some.
But sure, but so even then, we're playing on the margins then, though, right? Like, we're talking about rotational stuff and small adjustments. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still basically the same team.
Right, but that's where that's where a lot of the difference is in the playoffs. Like, the Thunder became last year became this great team that challenged the Warriors, all because Billy Donovan shortened his rotation, and they also kicked their defense up a notch. But a lot of it was the shortened rotation. So stuff like not playing Corey Brewer or something will make a difference eventually. I don't think that they have a gear. They have like an extra gear necessarily, but like Forrest said, there's not really a lot of teams that I feel like do have an extra gear other than like the Warriors and the Cavs, maybe the Clippers, but I don't think the Clippers' top gear is good enough for the Rockets to be that worried about it. So I see no reason why they can't make like the Western Conference Finals. The Spurs certainly don't have that gear. They have not had that for years, like he said. So I'm not that worried about it.
And I'm bullish on the Clippers. Like I what they did at the beginning of the season. Granted, it was the beginning of the season. It was only like a 16 game stretch. Like, that showed me they have an extra gear. Right, like when they're playing at peak levels, like defensively and offensively, like Like, there's few teams better than them, right? And that's where I kind of disagree with you guys. Like, I think, like, defensively, like, yes, the Cavs can kick it up a notch, and yes, the Warriors can kick it up a notch, and I don't think the Rockets can. And I'm not trying to be a hater. Like, this is me trying to be as objective as I possibly can. Like, okay, point blank, do you guys think this is a conference finalist? Like, would you favor them against the Clippers, I guess?
I wouldn't favor them, but I would give them, like, a 45% chance or something like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of at, like, without further evidence, I don't really know what to do with it other than say it's like a pick-em between them and the Clippers and the Spurs, to be honest. Like, I think they're all pretty much in the same place, so avoid the 4 seed and maybe something cool is going to happen.
But, like, you... To go back to your point about, like, oh, they look how well they played at the beginning, that if we want to look at how well, like, a certain team plays for a certain period of time,
but that's 16 games.
You can say that anyone, right? The Rockets have, like, the first, the number one offense and the number six defense for, like, how many games have they played in December?
Yeah.
Sure, but I mean like the we've done studies on this, right? Like the beginning of the season is like that's where playoff teams are made, right? Like that's where like the deciding factors, like that's where every predictability is, like the first 20 games, you can figure out most of what you need to know from those first 20 games. And the Clippers performed amazing in those first 20 games and they've been rocked with these injuries, right? And I think the Clippers, like I think when they're at full health and when they're fully clicking, I just think they're better. And it really frustrated me that we couldn't see this on December 30th, because like I really wanted to see that matchup against the Clippers, because I really wanted to see like how the intricacies in that matchup.
Yeah, like both full strength.
Yeah, like I really wanted to see it. It really pissed me off. Like, and sure, the Rockets got an easy win out of that, right? But I mean, it would have been really nice to see what they can do against a team like that, right? And this is where like we just kind of have to wait, right? And as of right now, like I'm with you, Paul. I think 45% is a pretty good chance, right, to against the Clippers. And once you get to those margins, I think you're right there, right? You're right there. Like there's no excuse why you can't compete with them and make it like a 6 or 7 game series, right?
I'm gonna surprise you here by saying something weirdly positive, which is that I think your argument about the Clippers is more or less correct, but I think it applies to Houston too. Once they got Patrick Beverley back and the whole team was healthy, they just started kicking the hell out of everybody. So it's, I don't know. I think there really isn't, the sample size is small, and I can't really say for sure which of these teams are better. The Clippers, yeah, I think like 65-45 is like, you know, or 55-45 is not a reasonable at all, but like I said, I think it's basically a pick 'em unless we see some real changes, and I don't think we're going to. I think it's just going to be a really drag out, nasty fight between these top teams in the Western Conference.
We're 25 minutes into the podcast, and we haven't discussed what James Harden did last night, and I'm really disappointed in myself.
Because we're spoiled.
And I'm really disappointed in myself for waiting this long. I mean, James Harden, I mean, that was one of the greatest games, the greatest individual performances of all time. And that's not like an aberration, like it's not like an overstatement. That's exactly what happened last night. James Harden, 53 points, 16 rebounds, 17 assists, 14 for 26 shooting, 9 for 16 beyond the three-point line. That was like, it was video game-like numbers. And watching it in real life, I couldn't believe what was happening because he kept it going. And like by the fourth quarter, I'm like, all right, there's no way he's going to get 50, right? Like he looked so gassed, and he managed to still get to the free throw line and get those threes up at the end and find Ryan Anderson for some easy buckets down the stretch. I mean, James Harden is playing, like, especially these past couple of games, like, he's picked it up a stretch. Like, he was off for the beginning of the month of December, and now he's sort of picked it up. Like, he's gaining steam in that MVP conversation. If MVP race ends right now, who's your MVP?
Like, who would win it, or who would I pick?
Both.
I mean, I think the answer to both is, in fact, James Harden at this moment. But, like...
Oh, wow.
2 days ago, I'm not sure what it was, for what it's worth.
What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I think that people would lean towards James, like, at this very moment, because I think people are, people's opinions on the MVP, especially when it's close, their opinions tend to be fickle.
Yeah, like,
there's a lot
moment.
of, Exactly. And I would give it to Harden. I think he deserves it. And I also think that they would pick him. But before this game, would have said they're giving it to Russ at this point.
And that's unfortunate, right? Because this award is drawn a lot through recency bias, right? What you've seen last is pretty much what the voters are going to go on. And the voters tend to get their votes in about 60 to 70 games of the season. Like, I think you'd guys be surprised. Like, not many voters wait till the 82 game mark to officially submit their ballots. They're in by like the 70 or you know 65 game mark. So around that stretch, whoever's playing the best, I think is gonna win the award. And I think a lot of this is like team success, right? And I know you know the Russ supporters are kind of throwing that out the window, right? Like that doesn't matter. That absolutely matters, right? Historically, that absolutely matters. Who like team success is pretty key, right? And we've seen this in pretty much the last 5 years. Like that's been something that's been racked in our heads like constantly, right? Like, throughout history, there's only been a couple of candidates like outside of the top three teams in their respective conference that have won that award, right? And Russ, I mean, to his credit, he's done a good job in bringing the Thunder this far. They're seventh in the Western Conference. Last time I checked, let me check right now.
I think they're fifth or fourth.
Yeah, it's a real jumble right now. Everyone's moving like every 10 minutes.
They're fifth, but they're tied for fourth, right? There's a huge jumble at the fourth seed. There are one, two, three, four teams tied for the fourth seed in the Western Conference right now. They're all 8 games behind the third seed. So, I mean, yeah, it's pretty competitive out west. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tight, right? And a lot of this really depends on how close the Thunder finish towards the top. If they can get that fourth seed, I think it's fair to have a real conversation between Harden and Westbrook, right? Because that's not really that much, right? In terms of...
Well, unless it is.
What do you mean?
Like, the difference between third and fourth seed might be like 12 games or something.
Right, but right now it's like 4.5 games, right? And so if it ends up being like, I don't know, it's 3 or 4, I think it's reasonable to have that discussion because of how well Russ has played so far, right? And I don't want to take anything away from Russ. Russ has played phenomenal throughout the season, right? I just think if you value what's historically been done, right, then I think, you know, at least home court advantage should be considered in all this. And I think if the season ended right now, I'd probably say Harden, but I mean, again, I do have a bias. I'm not even gonna pretend like I don't. But at the same time, I think the voters are still going to lean Russ. I think people like Russ more, right? And that's a sneaky thing that, you know, nobody ever talks about. Like, it's a dirty word, like likability, right? Like, that stuff matters in these, you know, in anything that's determined by voters, right? Likability is going to be pretty much a huge factor in all this. And I think Harden loses to Russ 9 times out of 10.
I think people would like to give it to Russ. And what you say about, like, winning numbers do matter, but things only matter as much as the voters decide they matter. We should know that very well at this point, that none of this matters. Like, if they're just going to do whatever they want to do. If they really do think that winning is a big deal, then Harden has a big advantage. If they just want to give it to the guy who's angrier every night of the season, then Russ has a big advantage. So I don't know. I think that, like, the buzz for Harden, especially among kind of like the type of folks who vote for the MVP, is a little more at the moment. Except among Chauncey Billups, I guess. But yeah, like, it's very close. It's really close, and to be honest, I think they've left everyone else behind for the time being. Like, KD, I think, should have a much better case than he does.
Yes, absolutely. I'm with you, because Kevin Durant's been having, like, by efficiency, man, he's had the best season out of all three of these guys. And like he's shooting the best from 3-point line, from the field. His team is the best. So traditionally, if Kevin Durant, like, you know, hadn't left Oklahoma City, he'd be the guy, right? And that's hurting his chances. And I think you're right, Forrest. I think Harden and Westbrook have separated themselves from the pack, and that's a good thing, right? I mean, if you're a Rockets fan, that's a good thing that your guy is at least in the top two candidates right now. Like whichever way you lean, like, he has to be one of the top two guys you voted for, unless you live in Oakland or something like that and you have a vote. Then, you know, it's gonna be between these two guys. And I think You know, I really hate talking about MVP because this kind of stuff gives me a big headache. Like every year, like I hope like it's obvious, so I don't really have to talk about it. But I mean, Harden's played well enough to make us have this conversation. Last night, I mean, it was just like insane. Like I was checking the box score constantly. I don't know about you guys. I was checking to see like there's no way he drops 50 tonight, right? And then he dropped 50 tonight, and I was looking at other numbers. I didn't even notice that he had 17 assists. Like that was just that's just something we've come so accustomed to with Harden's game, right? That he's gonna get a lot of assists. Like my eyes didn't even notice that he was like, you know, racking up these assist numbers and the rebound numbers. And so, like, yeah, I mean, that's just it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun race. It's not gonna be fun for us because we're gonna have to write about it. And I think and it's
nah, that is fun. That's great. Because who cares who wins? Just stop caring who wins, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, but and it's really hard to separate yourself from that, right? And that's where the frustration comes in, right? When you're trying to maintain objectivity and but at the same time you have a clear opinion who you want to win one way or the other. As far as like, yeah, so I mean, again, like as far as the MVP race, like I think Harden's definitely in it. I don't think he'll win it, and I disagree with you guys on that. And yeah, I think it's going to be fun to see, like, towards the end of the season. I think it's going to be fun to see who's performing better. I mean, for the fans, at least, it's going to be fun to see who's performing better, who's, you know, whose team's doing better. Like, I'm glad that we're having a season where we're not talking about the Warriors 24/7, right? And that was what we that was kind of what we expected going into the season, right? It was going to be Warriors and Cavs talk 24/7, and
yeah, but nobody wants to talk about the Warriors.
And that
everyone's avoiding it. It's great.
Yeah, it's and I'm glad, honestly, because like last year it annoyed the hell out of me how much we talked about the Warriors, and for good reason. We talked about the Warriors for good reason. They won 73 games, right? Like that, like, and that's something we should talk about. But I'm glad we're not talking about it this year. We're kind of having a break. We get to talk about other stuff. The league is interesting. It's dare I say the most interesting it's ever been. You know, I could care less what Charles Barkley has to say about it, but I think we're having a good time here this season. All right, and that's it for the Reds News Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Red Nation News. Follow Forrest on Twitter at DUNOTS on Twitter. Follow Rocket Intellect, aka Paul, on Twitter. And yeah, guys, good night.
Is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.